Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The weather has changed pretty dramatically in the last couple of days, and I'm sure lots of you have switched on the heating or even lit the fire, and you might be thinking about what improvements and upgrades you could make to your home to make them a little bit more cosy, a little more comfortable as we head into the winter. So to share their knowledge on home energy upgrades and tell us about all the latest grants available to help with the costs, I'm joined by Ciarán Byrne, who's Director of the National Retrofit Scheme at the SEAI, and Brian McIntyre, who's Programme Manager at SEAI. Both welcome. Great to have you back.
Morning, Claire.
We always get so many questions when you come in. Today's no different. So there's still an awful lot of interest. But you know, Brian, as you were saying, it is the time of year, isn't it? Your thoughts turn to this stuff.
Yeah, people generally think about it when it starts to get cold, like you said, and you start feeling it get colder very quickly after you turn off the heat. It's time to do something about it. So yeah, it's definitely that time of year.
It certainly is. The take-up of the grants then, Ciarán, what's the latest on all of this?
It's very good. It's going very, very well. And some of your listeners may have seen our new campaign out there, because we have a grant with your name in it. We're trying to really encourage people. We're halfway through our kind of our 2019 to 2030 trajectory, and we're doing very, very well for the first part of it. But what we really need to do is turbocharge it now for the next couple of years. So this year is doing well, but we need to do more. I think everybody's aware of the climate change and the initiatives. So supporting people to retrofit their homes is a really important way of getting us on the right climate action journey. And so this year, we've about 35,000 people or so have taken the grants up so far. Typically, in our world, each quarter builds in the quarter before. So quarter four is normally our busiest quarter, quarter one a little bit quieter. So we're building up to it. But notwithstanding that, we have capacity. And we've talked to a lot of contractors. They have capacity to do works and are really looking to get out there and do them.
Because we have spoken about that before. You know, a lot of people interested, and then there's a big delay, isn't there, in getting the assessment and then finding somebody to do the work. Yeah. Is that improving?
Yes, it is. And so just to be clear to your listeners, if you're doing a one-stop shop, which is a full house deep retrofit, that's a very involved piece of work, and it'll be somewhat analogous to building a small extension on your home, for example. So you plan it out and you program in with the one-stop shops. I've talked to them lately and they all have capacity, but it's not the kind of thing that you kind of sign up on a Monday and they turn up on a Tuesday. It takes a bit of programming and ordering and pre-ordering. On the individual measures, we really don't see any delays. And typically you'll talk to a contractor and you'll agree what to do and you'll set a time and a place and they'll come and do the works.
That's the first thing, Brian, people need to do is get the BER assessment done.
Yeah, because a lot of people won't really understand where they need to start off. So a BER assessment gives a good picture of where the house is and where the priority areas that they need to address are.
That'll tell you not just what your rating is now, but where you can improve.
Yeah, so you get the BER cert itself, and then there's an advisory report alongside it. So it gives you a very visual guide to, say, your roof insulation, wall insulation, your heating, whether it's very poor, poor, fair, good or very good. So it gives you a very visual idea of what you need to look at.
That's a good starting point then. You know what you need to do at that point. Right, we'll come to the questions. So this first one, are there grants available for apartment owners? My apartment is 30 years old and lacks insulation, etc. Brian, do you want to take that one?
Yep, our grants are available for all apartment owners as well. The first thing I would say, though, is they need to contact the management company that deals with the apartment blocks, because there may be issues there around what they might do or the types of works that they want to do. But absolutely, our grants are available for apartments.
Okay, but it just might be a little bit more complicated because of the management structure, but you'll have to check that out. This next one, I recently tried to apply for solar panels for my father. He's a registered vulnerable customer with Electric Ireland. I was told he had to be registered as a vulnerable customer as of October 2023. My dad is only registered since August 2025, so he doesn't qualify for the solar panel grant. Is that correct, and will it change in the budget? Will it be extended?
So that is technically correct, but let me explain to your listeners what that is. That's a pilot scheme where we're looking at medically vulnerable customers. People, for example, have medical equipment they have to keep on at all times. And on that pilot scheme, we put in free solar panels in their home to help defray with electrical costs. And it came in as part of the energy emergency situation about post-Ukraine war. We're running that scheme at the moment with all of the main electricity providers. And when we finish the first part of it, we will be reviewing the scheme and making recommendations going forward. So I can't say I'm not, you know, privy to budget discussions really, but certainly we are running the pilot scheme. We had a cutoff date, which was October of 2023, and we're doing the homes that registered up to that point, and then we'll take a look and see how it's working and will we go forward again.
Right. And will you recommend that it be extended? Can you tell us that much?
Well, it's hard to say, but certainly it's a very, very worthwhile scheme, and we're hitting target groups because, again, on the retrofit journey, we have to hit everybody and bring everybody with us. And this is hitting a cohort of people who are medically vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, very popular and important scheme.
Right. OK. But it does seem very unfair, you know, that he's registered since August of this year and he's out because of that, you know. Yep. You would hope that would change.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we wait and see. This next one, I've been looking at installing solar panels. I've got a couple of quotes from different companies. However, just one of the companies recommended we get more solar panels and do not install a battery. So which setup is best? Now, will you explain to me what's going on there, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, people look at the options. Like, we used to offer a grant for a battery because a lot of time, if you're not there during the day, you can basically store the energy that's generated from your panels, and then so you're not wasting it, essentially. You're not getting any value for it. When the Clean Export Guarantee, which is a price you get paid for what you export back to the grid, came in 2022, there wasn't really the same need for a battery because people were getting paid for the excess, so they're still getting value for that. But in this situation, it very much depends on their circumstances. You can still get paid for what you don't use in the house, or do you want to use a battery to store some of the energy that's generated from your PV system and use it later in the day, for example.
Just a personal choice, is it?
It depends on your circumstances. Okay. Like, if people are working from home a lot during the day, then they can make more use of the solar panels in the roof. So you wouldn't necessarily need a battery because you're there during the day. If you're not there during the day, then a battery might make more sense because, again, you're generating from the solar panels. If you can't use it and you're not in the house to use it, then a battery makes sense that you can store some and use it later in the day.
And are the batteries very heavy?
They're about 50 kilos, which is about 8 stone.
So you'd have to make sure that if you're putting it in the attic, or does it have to be on the roof with the solar panels?
It's stored in the attic. There are certain conditions around where it's stored in terms of, like, fire safety and certain distances.
It can
be stored outside as well. They need to.
Right, but that might be a consideration for people as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't do it safely, you're better off probably sending your excess back to the grid.
Yeah,
right?
Or they can store a battery somewhere else just within the property as well. It doesn't have to be there. Okay. You don't have to avoid a battery just because of that.
Okay, let's move on to this old farmhouse. And this listener bought this as a doer-upper 27 years ago. Some of the walls are 2 foot thick. We had a dry lined when we first bought it. Any one-stop shop we contact runs a mile. They've spent 8,000 on solar. They'd like to insulate the ceiling, but they're told they won't get a grant because the pitch of the roof at the walls is too close to the ceiling to insulate. We use oil heating, which we'd love to replace, but with what? We won't get a grant for a heat pump because we can't reduce our BER sufficiently. Mm-hmm. And in any event, it wouldn't heat a traditional house like ours. I'd say there's a lot of this out there, Ciarán, isn't there?
There is. And actually, to that end, we have launched a traditional homes pilot scheme for exactly that. I think it's about 300,000 properties are considered heritage and traditional homes. And the definition is a home built before 1941. So there's quite a range of property types. So from the kind of mass concrete homes in Marino built in the 1930s, right down to the Georgian houses of Rathmines. So there's a lot of complexity in this one.
Yeah.
And so we've launched a traditional homes pilot scheme to work with the one-stop shops to start trying to deal with and treat these types of homes. And so this, the situation you've outlined there, a couple of points is that the rafter piece and the insulation, it may well be there's a very low pitch roof, so there's different products that will have to be used from the traditional standard ones, and that's what the pilot scheme is there to address. We bring in different types of skill sets to that program because you may well need a conservation architect and things like that, more skill sets, and we're starting to look at different materials suitable to the needs of the home. The other point then on this particular example is the it's not to do with the BER rating. The heat pump grant is not really related to the BER rating. It's to do with the heat loss. So you can get a heat pump grant for any BER rating, but it's the heat loss that's the issue. So if you have a situation of the traditional home isn't insulated enough, your heat pump will not perform efficiently and your bills could be very, very high.
So it's pointless.
It becomes a little bit pointless if you don't get the insulation piece right.
So what do you think they can do? Because, I mean, you see there at the end of their question, we want to do our bit for climate change. But they don't want to go bankrupt either, you know, if they can't get help from the scheme.
Well, that's exactly right. I'm slightly disappointed to see that some of the one-stop shops have run a mile. We have a number of very good one-stop shops participating in specifically in this traditional homes pilot scheme. And they are taking these unique case situations because what we have to do is effectively develop a solution for all of those types of houses. That might not be as easily deployable as a standard three-bed semi-solution, but we still need a solution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're trying different things in controlled conditions. And this house looks like it could be one that
And how do you go about finding out if you're an owner of a traditional home which one-stop shop is going to deal with you?
It's available on the website.
On your website?
Yeah, under the traditional homes pilot, it has the one-stop shops that are participating in it. So about 16 of the 25 one-stop shops are engaging in the traditional.
And that's up and running now, that pilot scheme. Because every time you come in, we have people with similar questions who are in traditional homes.
We launched it probably last November. And it's just taken a bit of time because you're bringing in new skills of people with conservation experience or experience of doing the right thing for traditional buildings, which are quite different to anything built after 1940. They're just how you insulate them, for example, is quite different. So you just want to make sure you're doing the right thing to a house like that.
And so what we're doing is trying to take a number of different archetypes and home types so we can try things in all of them so you come out with a solution. So the end point, a bit like the medically vulnerable, is the pilot scheme. You'll take the learnings, you'll build that into a mainstream scheme and drive on.
And how long is that running for then? If it's up and running just close to a year now?
2 years, I think. I think it's the initial
about 2 years. We targeted 100 homes and we're nearly halfway there.
Okay, well, now is the time to get in if anyone's in that situation. Now, this next one, we were shocked to hear that because we had beads in our cavity, we didn't qualify for the full wrap retrofit of over €25,000. No one in the family has any idea of how the beads got there. What are they talking about?
It's if you've got a cavity wall, which you might have had from say 70s or 80s, where you have two like block layers of wall, and then there's a cavity between them. What you can do is drill holes and pump what's called bonded bead insulation into it. So it's like beads that are glued together and dry within the wall and form a layer of insulation.
Okay, and that's what they have in their house.
It sounds like it. I would just question, I don't know who told them they weren't eligible for it. If they've had, we do have a situation where if you've had a grant for wall insulation already from SEI, you can't claim another grant. Mm-hmm. The reason being that if you've got a grant, say if they did have a grant for cavity wall insulation, your wall's at a pretty good level as it is. So us giving another grant to increase that again doesn't make sense. You could have insulated two houses rather than one house for that. But it does sound like, given the timeline that they've given there, that I'm not sure that they would have had a grant for that. So it's definitely worth calling
the
SEI.
They need a second opinion, it sounds.
I'd call SEI to see if they've had a grant for that.
Okay, because they've been told if the skirting boards come up, the beads are going to fall out. That they've been there for 20 years. But you're saying that doesn't matter.
The timeline and the quality work suggests that that's not something that was done through a grant scheme.
Okay, right.
I 20 years, it doesn't sound like we would have covered it under a grant scheme.
You want them to contact the SEAI to find out what's going on there.
Exactly,
okay, that's a good idea. This next person has had wall and attic insulation work carried out with the help of an SEAI grant. A short time later, mould appeared, first on the ceiling, then on the walls of all the rooms along the perimeter of my house, a bungalow. A member of the installation company returned at my request. After a brief inspection, they told me the work they'd carried out was perfect. He'd no idea what was causing the mould, but it was my problem. There was no sign of mould in my house before the insulation work was done. What help or advice do you have for me now?
There's two elements to that. There's one, there may not be enough ventilation in the house. So you're trapping. So the warm air that's been in the house is carrying more moisture. And when that hits a cold surface, you get condensation that can create mold. So it sounds like there's a gap. The insulation probably hasn't been brought over to the top of the wall. So there's a gap there along the ceiling at the very edge along the perimeter, like I said, and then at the top of the wall. So that junction between the wall and the ceiling probably isn't as well insulated, which is why you'll get that mold and condensation along that junction. So it's a cold spot. I would say increasing the ventilation means you're removing some of that moisture carrying air from the house. And it could be just that the insulation hasn't been brought right over to the edge.
But that is a problem for the person who put it in.
Yeah.
So where is their recourse then if they're getting a flat no? Do they go to the SEAI or where?
In the first instance, it is between the homeowner and the contractor. But we have supported a lot of homeowners with the advice to help and have that discussion with contractors. And we do have an inspection regime where we look at contractors and things like that. So it's a little bit of a get out for the contractor to say it's not us. It's linked into the insulation. And quite probably, as Brian said, it's a cold spot somewhere in the setup.
But where there is a dispute between the contractor and the homeowner, can you request an inspector to come out?
Not necessarily, but we do that on occasion because we have a full inspection regime in the first instance. But we would typically target, we look at contract performance and things like that and we see how they're doing. But we have done so on occasion, because we try to. Our job is trying to help the homeowner. Ultimately, we're giving grant support for homeowners to do work, and it's between contractors and homeowners. And we have issues on both sides along the way, as you can imagine, when you do 65,000 homes in a year, you can imagine. So we try not to get too much involved, but we want to support homeowners to the degree possible to make their rest really easy.
Listen, our time is against us, but we could do the full 2 hours with you because, as always, we have so many questions. So come back to us again.
There's just one last point, and we'll just reiterate, you've got lots of listeners out there. Time is now. There's a grant there for you.
Go and do it. SEAI, check out the website.